Hey there.
What's up?
So we have a tradition before we have every worship service at Triple C where the worship team and whoever's speaking and stuff like that, and then sometimes random kids like Jack or Andrew, go into this tiny little kitchen in a weird space at Triple C, and we pray over the service.
Yeah.
It's an important thing.
It's a
like
great time.
It's like when the 90s run Chicago Bulls would put their hands in and say, "It's game time." Who? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You never watched The Last Dance?
I did. I just don't remember it.
What? You need to rewatch it, bro.
I watched it during COVID.
Okay, so but that's kind of essentially what we're doing. We're hyping ourselves up and asking the Lord to join us and help us right as we go out to do this thing, right?
Sure.
Anyway, the thing about this little kitchen where we meet to do this is it's like right next to two of the 12 bathrooms that are at Triple C.
There's 12?
I think there are 12 bathrooms at Triple C.
I didn't know there was that many. It feels like there's zero. It's seriously, they're never available when you need one.
Oh, thankfully there's one in your office.
Our church is so weird.
So, anyway, so our worship team's back there. I'm back there. T's back there, obviously. And like, there's always a random person using the restroom while we're doing this pregame prayer.
Yeah.
Well, this past Sunday, Thomas, for some reason, I can't even remember what the context was, he did his impersonation of Dickie Jenkins in the prayer circle. I bet Dickie listens. There's no way.
Dickie listens to more podcasts than any of us put together.
No, but he doesn't listen to this one.
I bet he does.
I guarantee you he doesn't. And it's a good impression. You have your best impression is what?
I don't know that I have.
No, you're Dr. Emmett L. Brown from Back to the Future.
Well, it's only one word. That's why I can't do a.
Give it to the people.
He goes, "Money." That's it. That's all I can do.
You don't even do Great Scott.
I don't think I can. Great Scott. That's
good.
About it.
That's good.
I can do. You know what I do? A good impression of are people's walks. That's what I impress really well. I can do Lee and our buddy Joe perfectly.
It's true.
If
I don't understand it. Whenever I see your impression of my walk, I'm like, why do I walk like that? Well, I don't understand it.
I mean, why do I walk the way I do? Who knows?
Do you do an impression of your own walk?
I don't know my own. Nothing gets in your head more than when you think about how you walk.
You have to be outside yourself to do an impression of yourself. Okay, anyway. So, for some reason, Thomas, he did Dickie Jenkins right before we prayed, and then he said out loud.
Oh, it's because Dickie always gives me a hard time about when we start our church service.
That's it, yeah.
He got on me for not, and to be honest, I'm usually trying to wrangle people in there to pray.
Yeah,
people.
Of course.
I'm trying to wrangle people in there to pray.
Excuse me, I went looking for you forever.
Okay, for the first time ever 2 weeks ago.
Yes. No. And you were just chilling with Garrett. You and Garrett are just hanging out. And I was like, wait, were you like counseling him or something? Like, no, we're just chilling. I was like, you have work to do.
I was doing part of my job.
Anyway, so you're talking about how Dickie wants us to start the service. And then and then Thomas says, I said, why don't you pray for us, T? And you said, what if I did the whole prayer in the Dickie Jenkins voice?
Mm-hmm.
And then you froze like a possum on the turnpike.
Oh, gosh, man, that's a gruesome image. Well, because multiple people looked at me and said, he's back there in the bathroom. He wasn't. I'm going to be honest with you.
Up.
That started a day of that. I had about six of those.
Oh, no.
Where it was
no,
I keep saying the wrong thing. I had a song where I completely, you could have asked me my name and I wouldn't have known it. I forgot everything about what was happening. I had to look to Lee in front of 300 people and say, how does this song go?
Thomas got the yips on a song.
I did.
And
and it shook me for 2 days.
For people that have
finally over it, and now we're talking about it again.
For people who have never played baseball, would you explain the yips?
I think it comes from Chuck Knobloch, if I'm not mistaken.
Who's that?
Former second baseman of the New York Yankees who forgot how to throw the ball to first base. He literally couldn't throw it to first base without skipping it or throwing it over the first baseman's head. And that's where the term the yips comes from, if I'm not mistaken. But it's applicable in a lot of places in life. It's where you forget how to do a very simple thing.
You're just like, I've done this 1,000 times, and now I literally can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the second time it's happened to me at our church. It's very humbling, and it is very embarrassing.
I think it's sweet. It's like part of the charm of Triple C. Like, our friends, Whopper and Karis Connor, and yes, I said Whopper. That's the dude's name. Whopper and Karis, like, the first time they came to Triple C, they a gentleman walked into the sanctuary and fixed a projector with a broomstick.
It's a broomstick, yeah.
And they were just kind of over the glitz and glam of mega churches or whatever, and how everything's always perfect all the time, and the perfect ambiance and the perfect whatever, whatever. And they were like, "Yeah, this is where we want to go to church." Yeah. But I think it's part of the charm of our church. But yeah, look, you got the yips. And I guess the reason it happened on that song was because it started with the Dickie Jenkins thing.
It happened. There was about a 36-hour window where I just did that. I was just like, oh, I just can't get it right now.
He started the song. He played the first chord.
No, I played the first chord. I did play the right chord.
Yeah, he played the right chord.
The wrong time signature for the incorrect amount of beats. And I was like, this isn't right. And I could not find it.
And then I started singing it from my seat. And Thomas, from the mic on the stage, said, Where is he?
Yeah, I can't.
Then you and I locked eyes and I sang it to you. And you were like, there it is. and then he led the song beautifully. It's fantastic. You did such a great job. I thought it was charming.
I appreciate it.
I also the idea of, like, after Asio Spoon and all the
What is going on? Sheesh.
Like, the idea of you, like, doing an entire pregame prayer in the Dickie Jenkins impersonation is just...
No, I would never do that.
It's just unbelievable. Man. You never even would have said that if Tom was in the room.
Yeah, I would have. I would have said it louder. Sometimes I like to see how just far I can him. Go with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just...
It's only. You have to read that out though. It's not at all an everyday event.
No.
He's got to be cheeky.
Yeah. And there is cheeky a version. Tom. There's a version of Tom where there is no serious conversation. Nothing real will happen. He is just gonna. He's just gonna be like weird the whole time.
Pure cheek. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some days too with Tom where you're around him for a few minutes and you realize he's like looking for a fight to get into. He wants to fight somebody.
That's Enneagram 1, I would say. If I ever believed in those things. I mean, because that happens to me too, but it's when I'm the wingiest.
The wingiest of your winging?
Yeah.
All right.
Sometimes people are going to catch a stray. they got no, whatever else is going on in my life, it's going to come out on somebody. And I've learned it with my kids. I'm like, oh, it can't be on them because they're going to resent me the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just like some random person who did a thing and then you guys get a voice memo.
Jude's never caught a stray?
Sure. Of course. I'm a dad.
Yeah. I was like, dude, my kids have caught strays.
No, of course that. I'm just saying, like, I've definitely caught myself like, hold on, this has nothing to do with him. Yeah. I have to back up.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's people who lean into that and it's like, that's not good.
Yeah. How? Okay. Welcome to Ancient and New.
Mm-hmm.
That's Thomas. I'm Lee. And we're going to take you through some scriptures today. What do you have for us, T?
I think we're going to go to Mark 12.
Oh, wow.
This is the most...
We're both in the Gospels today, by the way.
Contentually, this is the most our podcast has ever been our podcast, content-wise.
Why?
Because I truly...
Yeah, you made up a word right there. Contentually. Yeah,
contentually. What if that's my word saying?
We don't have one today.
That's what you think.
Oh, gosh.
No, we don't have one. Yeah, Yeah, just we always talk about how there's no preparation for this. We just, you know, there's no preparation for this one. Yeah. I read it at 5:15 this morning.
Okay.
With one shot of Nespresso.
I was still asleep.
Oh, bro, your boy's been grinding. Maddie's sick, so I just have to get every moment I can. So I'd
yeah. Work. You have a 5-month-old.
Yeah, I did I worked. Yeah, I did.
Almost 5 months. Well, no, you have 5-month-old.
No, she's 19, 4 months. Right? The 19th of May will be her 5th month of life. Yeah. Okay. It says this is so interesting to me. Okay, and this is such an interesting. I just think this is an interesting thing that Jesus chose to do. Jesus sat down opposite the place. Yeah, verse 41. Verse 41. Right. You didn't read my brain?
For some reason, my laugh sounds like I've been smoking for the last 30 years. It does, dude.
You have the gunk, my friend.
It's pollen. It's East Tennessee. The trees are assaulting us.
They're trying to.
Okay. Verse 41.
Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Crazy. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put 2 very small copper coins in it, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, the poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Mm. I was doing a thing on this not that long ago, and I read something that said these like they're like cisterns, and they were designed in a way that created an amount of noise based on how much you put in, and it was very showy.
Whoa.
Yeah, like it's not. I don't know that they were made in order to make sound.
Was that from that Craig Keener book?
No, it was from a different one.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I've never read that before.
Yeah, it was super interesting. And it makes sense. So, like, if you put in a large amount, yeah, it makes a lot of noise. Whereas if you put in... And you think about a piggy bank, it's like you drop in one coin, you get a tiny little clink. But if you throw in a bunch, it's going to sound louder. Or it's going to sound more, not necessarily louder. That was probably the case here. I mean, like, and, you know, just in the setting in which this took place in, it's not something that would have been hard to miss. And you know, if you put in a lot of stuff, people would have heard you. There would have been a lot of people there. Yeah. And I just love, like, there's that song, and I think it's, oh man, I don't remember who sings it, but one of the lines in it is, they refer to Jesus as lifter of the lowly. And I thought that was just a beautiful thing to think about, because that's exactly what's happening here. Here is someone who is lowly, down and out, marginalized, not where everybody thinks everybody else should be in life, and definitely not getting attention drawn to herself for the reasons that other people wanted to. And I just think it's interesting that Jesus, like, sat in a manner to watch this happen. It specifically says he sat opposite the place where the offerings were and watched the crowd putting their money. He sat there. He like pulled up a chair, had a cup of coffee, and just watched.
It's so bold because it's like, who has the right to do that? Nobody. Yeah, nobody has the right to do that except the one who is the on earth visible living representation of the temple. I mean, he's the maker. So he gets, but like, that is so bold. I'm just going to sit down here. I'm going to watch people put in their offerings, and then I'm going to make judgments.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, super interesting. And then his judgments are the reverse of what everyone else's would be. And I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody else, but I mean, like, if this were Instagram accounts, if these two had Instagram accounts, I know which one would have more followers.
Yep.
And if these two had jobs with titles in society, I know who would have you know, like a the word executive in it, and I know who would not. And or the word chief in it or something like that, you know. But I just and the one he chooses to highlight, it's just so fascinating. I think it's awesome. And I haven't even we haven't even talked about the woman, you know.
Right.
What I just am like, I'm kind of in awe on her. And like, to me, it's just that it's just, like when I think about women in the temple courts, and we get two highlighted really brightly. And one is, Anna, Anna, whatever, in Luke chapter 2, who is just, she just is camped out there. And it's literally, it's her way of saying like, this is my place. This is, you're all I have. This is where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And I get the impression that this woman is very similar. If she is just, she's given what she has, she's given everything she has. And that's a really cool sentiment to me, to look at people who their whole mindset is, you are all I have, all I need. You can have all I have. That's it. It's yours. It's yours anyway.
You bring up such a good point, and I've never thought about this before, and of course this is total supposition, but like,
are you gonna say what if that was her?
No, because she was already like 107 when Jesus was born. So she would have been 137 at this time. But like, but I think the question I was gonna ask is like, what if this poor widow, like what if it made Jesus think of Anna?
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, you know, Mary told Jesus that story because she told it to Luke.
Yeah.
The reason Luke wrote it down is because when Paul was in house arrest in Caesarea Philippi for 2 years, Luke went up and down the country and interviewed every eyewitness to the life of Jesus, and that's how he wrote his book. But, and so that's why, I mean, he interviewed Mary. That's why we have the birth stories of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. But like, it's like, so you know Jesus knew the story of Anna. It's like, what if, like, Jesus sees a poor widow in the temple who's just there to worship and giving everything she's got, and it's just like, he thinks about somebody who treasured him. It's like, oh, man, that's so good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like, she just, like, you're saying, the Lord is all she's got, so she's there, and it's like, and then she gave the Lord all she had.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yeah. That's all I have.
I love it, man. I want to go to Luke chapter 6.
Speak of the devil.
Yes. Yeah, Luke, let's look at your book now.
Dot.
So Luke chapter 6 is very interesting because it has a lot of the same teachings from the Sermon on the Mount and in this one chapter, and some people call it the Sermon on the Plain.
Okay.
And like he kind of like the Sermon on the Mount was his greatest hits, and he would have taught it many times to many different people. And he taught it on a mountain outside the Sea of Galilee, and he taught it on a plain here in Luke chapter 6. Okay. I wasn't there, so I can't be definitive about it because we don't have exact, you know, whatever. But there's a little paragraph, a little couple of verses that I want to look at specifically. And one, they caught my attention when I was reading this because they always make me think of Potsy. And so anything that makes me think of Potsy is dear and tender for me. And so it's probably going to be the thing I write down in my journal that day. But also I think there's a treasure here, and I don't want to miss it. I'm starting in verse 37. I'm just going to read two verses. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Don't condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Okay, so many things going on here. You know, on the surface, it's like, it's about not judging, because however you judge people, that's how you're going to be dealt with. The way you treat people is the way you will be treated, kind of deal. How you talk about people is how you'll be talked about. That's clear and interesting. But there's this picture given at the end, basically, yes, it's about not judging, but I think the overall sweeping thing about this little passage or paragraph is about generosity.
Mm.
I think it's about being generous. And the thing about generosity is, I don't think it's a switch that you flip. I think generosity is a muscle that in you is either weak or it's strong.
Okay.
I think that when people look at other people in their life, they, in every interaction you have, in every conversation you have, nay, in every thought that you have about a person, like a person comes into your head and you immediately have a thought, you have a chance and a choice to be critical or generous. Mm-hmm. Now, your experiences with that person are highly impactful on how that choice and how that chance swings.
Right.
I want to be perfectly honest about that. If somebody has been a jerk to me every time I've been around them, I am much less likely to be generous in my thoughts about them or my treatment of them than I am like if you mention my daughter Anna right now, it's just like, oh, my heart is just going to burst with generosity. Yeah. Because she's so delightful.
Mm.
And she's so sweet and she's so much fun to be around, you know? And,
yeah.
And so it's like, obviously the way somebody has treated you is going to have a giant impact on that regardless. Right. This teaching of Jesus is all about, you have a chance and a choice all day long.
Mm.
Which, like, I'm tired today, so like, ugh, that makes me feel tired. But you have a chance and a choice all day long to decide to be generous. Which means, like, not assuming intent.
Mm-hmm.
That's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, somebody says something. I don't want to automatically assume intent. T knows this already. You guys don't. Sorry. It's inside baseball. But, like, right before we hit record, I got a text that I need to have a conversation about something that makes me feel uncomfortable. And it's going to be difficult, probably. And I'm all, like, my brain already starts assuming intent. And it already starts defending me. And, like, it's just, like, it's automatic. And I think this teaching of Jesus is trying to encourage me, okay, I understand you feel that way. You've got some experience, maybe a tad of trauma. Let's try to muster some generosity.
Yeah.
And patience.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it describes the generosity, and basically what Jesus says is, if you will be generous, in other words, if you will be forgiving, if you will be slow to be critical, if you will not assume intent, if you will assume goodwill, then what's going to happen is you'll become the kind of person that people will start to treat you that way.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what you're going to get back from people. Yeah. You're going to get, and then he uses this image of a marketplace. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Okay, so that is a cultural image. It needs to be explained a little bit.
But, oh, man, yes. But for me, it's so easy to visualize that as either a French press or a cocktail. And just, but like both of those things are so good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was just like, oh, there's nothing better than a great coffee and to have so much of it that it's overflowing in the morning, or like a great cocktail that's handmade properly in the evening. And there's so that, you know, it's so tasty and there's so much of it. There's extra. Like, I was just like, that's awesome. I know that's not what's happening, but I just, it was awesome.
Well, this is so, okay. So picture like a first century marketplace.
Okay.
And you're going there to do your grocery shopping. And like, you're going to buy some almonds, right? Or you're going to buy some oranges, or you're going to buy some tea leaves. Mm. Like you're going to buy some of your groceries. You're going to buy rice.
All right.
And you're going to buy flour.
Okay.
So what people would typically do is they would use like trickery if they were dishonest. If a shopkeeper was dishonest, they would use trickery on their balances.
Yeah.
So if you were going to say like, I'd like 6 ounces of almonds, and I would like 1 pound of flour.
Yeah.
then they would like load their balance in such a way that they were able to give you less, but you paid the full amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the feeling that it's the feeling that Jude's going to have when he's about 7 and he opens a bag of Funyuns and it's a huge bag, but like over half of the bag is dead air.
That's just changed space in our lifetime, I think.
Yeah. It's just like there's less than half of that capacity is actual Funyuns.
Yeah, Funyuns probably not what Jude's... I mean, he can eat what he wants, but just...
He's going to eat Funyuns, dude.
Blech.
It's going to happen.
Maybe not.
Dude, he's going to go over to a friend's house and he's going to get Funyuns.
Okay.
Or he's going to go to his youth group and get Funyuns.
I'd try not to buy them.
Oh, you buy them.
But I try not to.
But you do.
Okay.
But
I'm just saying, there's also Dots pretzels in there and people are choosing Funyuns over Dots pretzels or... crazy pants.
And what I'm saying is, like, they pack half that bag with just dead air.
Okay.
Because they're trying to rip you off. And the opposite of that experience is, dear listener, if you ever get to go to Europe, Thomas and I got to go to Europe together. When you go to a gelato shop in the Barcador de San Josep, like, and you order a gelato, it's almost magical how much they can cram into that little cup.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's just, it's like they cram so much into that tiny little cup, and then it's just a giant mountain of gelato over the top of it. And you're like, how did you do
that? Yeah.
How is all of this staying still?
Right.
And not falling all over the floor?
Yeah.
And it's magical. It's amazing. It's like, they're so generous with the gelato. And then as soon as you finish it, you're like, you know what, T? I think I need more gelato. And then T's like, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's the image I get, that the Lord is like, if you will flex the muscles of generosity in the moments during in the moments that you have when you think about a person, or the moments you have with a person, if you will get stronger in generosity, like, it will return to you. And the reason I said this makes me think of Patsy is because there's so many times when he's praying and he'll just be like, Lord, pour it out on us. And then he'll just quote this scripture, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's like, that's the opposite of cheating me. That's like, I'm going to pour everything into the bag that you're ordering, and then I'm going to shake it all together so it all settles, and I'm going to pour more in.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to pour more in to where it's actually just spilling over the top onto your lap, and that's what you get.
That's cool. I like that you said generosity is a muscle, because, like, I think it'd be, I think people need to take, an inventory check. If they're listening to this show and they're giving us the place as two people who can talk about scriptures in their life and they want to take that seriously, that's great. You may not, that's fine. But I'm just saying, if you want to, I think it's worth taking an inventory check and saying, how strong is that muscle for me? And you're right. You were right in saying there's circumstances and people that probably don't deserve the amount. Well, I don't have the generosity for them, just circumstantially. They've not earned it in my life.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But I think it's worth noting, is that a majority or minority? Are you, and I don't everybody's different, but I'm just saying, if you look at your life and you are overly critical to the majority of people in your life, where you don't have generosity for a majority of people in your life, who, and there's not circumstantial reasons for that.
Right.
Or there's presumed reasons that aren't actually true, or whatever the thing is
that you can't even prove.
That you can't prove. You just are presuming. Then you need to take inventory of that.
That's right.
But because, and this is where it gets cool. This is the positive of this. It's a muscle. That doesn't mean that it's not something that can be changed. Muscles can be worked out and grown.
That's right.
Right. So,
developed and strengthened.
Yeah. Back before we had our second child, I regularly went to the gym a few times a week, right? Enough to that the way I feel about it is I want to be able to eat what I want to. That changes as I'm 30. that has changed. But I can still, I just need to work out a little bit harder and I can still eat what I want to. But now I gotta start thinking about my heart and stuff like that. So, you know, but anyways,
Those were the days.
Yeah, sure. It was like 28 for you, I think is what you said, when you had to stop drinking regular Dr. Pepper.
27. That's 27. Right. Okay, yeah.
Cool.
Haven't had a high octane Dr. Pepper since.
Dr. Pepper heavy.
Dr. Pepper heavy.
So, but I stopped for like 3 months, because for the first 8 to 10 weeks, and this is just, this is a relative statement, the people out there who are going to be really upset that I say this, but for the first 8 to 10 weeks, generally, of your newborn's life, they just don't sleep much.
Right.
They sleep a ton when you put it on paper, but it's in 3 hour increments. So you are waking up.
You want to sleep.
No, you wake up every 2 to 3 hours to feed your child, which means I didn't sleep like I would need to. And then it was about mid-March, and I was like, well, Daisy's sleeping. It's time for me to start going to the gym again.
Mm.
And I tried to throw up the weight I was doing beforehand, and I couldn't. And it wasn't embarrassing. It was just like, why did I think I could do this?
Right.
You know, like,
you're out of shape.
Yeah, I'm out of shape. My muscles. But to be frank, I've been going regularly for 6 weeks now, and I'm back to where I was. Yeah. And but it's taken 6 weeks of me having to struggle.
Right.
And I've gotten. I'm like, okay, cool. And that may be what it is. It's just like, hey, here's a muscle I haven't worked out in a while. But I have worked it out in the past. It's not going to take me too long to regain it, but I don't have to work for it. And then it's going to become more of a normal thing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, my guard is down when I'm hanging out with you. So like
that's nice.
I let it fly a little bit more than I would around normal people.
Of course.
But even just reading this scripture, like, and thinking about it before our conversation this morning, I thought something on when I first picked you up. And I decided not to tell you, because it was like, I need to work out the muscle of generosity in myself about this person. And so I'm not going to say this thing. And that's what it takes, is like, I love that you said do an inventory. Is that the word you used? An inventory?
Yeah, take inventory.
Yeah, take inventory. Like, what's the status of my generosity about the people in my life? And
yeah.
Am I critical or am I generous?
Yeah.
And if I work out the idea that if I work out this muscle of generosity, that's going to leave a different taste in people's mouths about what it's like to be around me. And it's going to return to me, not a bag of Funyuns that's mostly air, but like a cup of gelato in the Barcador de San Josep.
Yeah.
Which is killer.
Was that like farmer's market thing?
That yeah. That in? Gigantic. Yeah.
Yeah. We turned down an alley that had some really good stuff.
I mean, we turned down an alley, and all of a sudden we were in a different world.
It was basically like a restaurant outdoors.
You could
get whatever you wanted.
It was like discovering Hogsmeade.
You could get meats and cheeses or pastries or whatever. I'd
everything.
Yeah. So much happened in such a short amount of time that it's hard to remember it all.
Yeah.
It's like when you watch a show.
It was like wine, paella, gelato, everything.
Have you ever watched, Jeffrey Mason describes this, which I think is he our biggest listener?
He's our strongest listener.
Okay, yeah, he's definitely our strongest listener. He could squat the earth if he wanted to.
Absolutely.
Well, he describes, like, sometimes he'll watch a show, binge watch a show so much that he's like, it's just basically a movie, and I can't remember all the details, because I watched 9 seasons in 3 weeks or whatever. that's how Spain was for me. It was so much so fast.
That's right.
And then when you say it, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. Hindsight.
I wanted to ask you about this at the beginning, but now that it's set that Jonas Adu is going to Arkansas, which is where Cal.
Oh, I didn't know he is going. Committed there.
It's committed. It's over. Does that mean that we who are fans of the Tennessee Volunteers, like me, you, Rob, Jeffrey, and Austin White, who's a fan of the University of Kentucky, does that mean we're the most aligned we've ever been in basketball against the Arkansas Razorbacks?
I just don't. Yeah, of course. Actually, like, I don't know that I'm aligned against the Razorbacks. I just am like, okay, fine. Like, fine. Like, specifically to the Jonas Adu situation, I'm like, okay, was that worth what?
Right.
But also, what has Cal proven that is going to,
right,
you know, like, he has sent plenty of young, very athletic ballers to the NBA. And, like, dude, you're a good five. You just need to get stronger and more physical. You don't have the game that a five in the NBA does.
Right.
And you haven't had it in 3 years.
Well, the main thing that I want to say is, generosity conversation aside, there's only one Razorback that I love. One Razor. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
You said where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So I'm treasuring what will last. It seems nearly everything that my eyes can see is fleeting and will pass. So I'm holding on to you while the world wants more and more, knowing I have found the truth. Everything I do, and that you'll supply all my needs, so I don't have to be afraid with my eye on you, 'cause you've got a hold on me. Looking for that the